Good afternoon. This May 12th regular monthly board meeting of the Yakima Regional Clean Air Agency Board of Directors will come to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Stephen Jones.
Present.
John Devaney.
Present.
Amanda McKinney. Jose Trevino. Janice DeCio.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any additions or deletions to today's agenda?
Actually, it's really not addition or deletion. I just put some information in front of you that I received after the board packet was sent out. I will refer to them during my board meeting.
Okay. And those will be sent electronically to the absent board members?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Public comments. If any member of the public wishes to address the board on a matter relevant to our business, you may do so now. We ask that you identify yourself, stating your name and the item you wish to discuss, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Are there any public comments at this time? If you could come closer to the microphone, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
My name is Jean Mendoza. I'm from White Swan, and I want to talk about the budget. First off, I want to say that 3 minutes is not long enough for a person like me to say what I have to say. Second, there's no way that any member of the public can adequately analyze and review the budget based on the information that was sent out in today's packet. I will send questions to the Clean Air Agency regarding the budget. I don't know if they'll be answered. I've tried to do that in the past and have not received a response. I do have some questions that I hope all of you will ask today. How many FTEs are included in this budget? How many employees will there be for the Clean Air Agency based on this proposed budget? This budget doesn't describe outputs. All it looks at is dollars. So it's a balanced budget, which always makes everybody happy. But what are we getting for our tax dollars? So my question is, how many hours, how many employee hours will we spend gathering and analyzing data? How many employee hours will be spent responding to complaints from the public? And how many hours will be spent educating and informing the public? Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further public comments? Please.
Hi, I'm Sandy Braden, friends of Totnes Creek. And I have two questions. One, so, like, it's my understanding that Dustin is no longer going to be with you folks at the end of this month. And so who's, like, doing the burn inspections and all of that stuff that he was the lead for the department or for that area for the Clean Air Agency? Has there been a new individual who's been hired to cover that spot, or...
I believe Dr. Jahat will be discussing that during his presentation.
Yeah. Good. Number two question, and my last one is, so how's your hunt for a new dude to head up the agency?
I will also be updating the public and the board on that as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Any further public comments at this time? Any further public comments? Last call for public comments. All right, thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda, you all had an opportunity to review the April 14th board meeting summary and the monthly activity reports. And if there were no questions, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed or abstaining? Motion is approved. Thank you. Moving on to the regular agenda, Interim Executive Director's Report, Dr. Tott.
Mr. Chairman, board members, public, good afternoon. I think today the my report is gonna be kind of loaded, and I hope I'll be able to answer some of those questions which was asked during the public comment. For the staff update, the first thing is I wanted to update the board and the public, of course, in this case. Dustin accepted another job from the Department of Ecology. His last day will be May 31st. Definitely, we wish him the best in his new endeavor. We lost also previously, prior to Dustin, Kelsey. She was also doing the air monitoring. And we really, this agency has never been specialized. One person does only one specific thing. So that's true. Dustin does air monitoring, does complaint, does also industrial inspection, and so on and so forth. So with the three lost out of 10, so we lost almost about 30% of the total staff. To answer one of the questions, so we did put some ad accepting to hire some folks. Hopefully we will start looking for the interviews during next week. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. The budget, it's kind of talking about the same thing. The budget is based on full 10 FTE employees for this agency, including the executive director. And it could be also the date, not dude, as it was referred to, as possible. So.
We will not presume the gender of the executive director.
Be the date. So it's based on full 10 time employees. So that's the budget. I'm an engineer. I don't like the long budgets. I make it very simple. So 5 pages, I can explain it. I can answer any questions anybody have. But I was hoping in June's board meeting we'll have kind of explanation in details. So the interim executive director's position is not the only position I have in this agency. I do a lot of other issues too. So that is for the staff update. For the second one is Commissioner, the second bullet is Commissioner McKinney asked last time about the proposed heavy duty trucks. And I told her that I will report back again this board meeting about this. I did get in touch with the National Association Clean Air Agency, which we are members. I attend most of their meetings, which really almost on a weekly basis. So this rules was started during the previous administration, 2020. So there is also, I attached the letter which was sent by the National Associations of Clean Air Agencies. It was sent to EPA. They were commenting on it. And this is really a continuation. And the gist of this heavy-duty trucks, there's a lot of agencies as well as states are really supporting this. The earliest this would, if it will be finalized, will take place, I believe, in 2027. That's the earliest. So there are in our area, we will benefit from this for the corridor along I-82. So if you really read what the letter and what is the real purpose from the clean air agencies or the states supporting these kind of rules, that is, they will be controlling the air emissions at the source, which is really the engines. NOx is a precursor for PM2.5 as well as for ozone, and there are a lot of areas nationwide they are they don't meet the National Ambient Air Quality Standards. So that's why one of the reasons it will help them, and in the letter you would see who is really supporting all of this new rule. That's what I believe. I did also talk to the executive director for the NACA, and then he said, as soon as they also hear anything, any comment or directions from the board, you want me to take back and comment back on these rules? He said, absolutely, I can do that. I'm not so sure. From our point of view, I think it's not a bad rules, it's a good rules. Is it the cost analysis? There will be a cost analysis for it, and so on and so forth. But in our area, really, probably because of considered as an agricultural area in comparison to, let's say, LA and other very congested areas, that really, the contribution from NOx is a lot that will help them eventually in meeting those standards, especially ozone and PM2.5. So that's the update on those heavy duty.
Dr. Todd, I think
I have a quick question about that. Sure. So most of this was in-service engines, which I wasn't quite clear. Obviously, over-the-road trucks are included, but how about heavy equipment?
I think this one was for the mobile sources.
Okay.
Yeah. Mobile sources, the big one, the big heavy-duty trucks. Yes.
So not heavy equipment, and more than likely not stationary equipment.
No. The stationary, they have different rules.
Okay.
They have completely different rules. Mr. Chair, you said you have a question?
Oh, I just saw that Dr. Jones had one, so I just wanted to get your attention.
Okay.
Please continue with your report.
So the third bullet is the draft budget for fiscal year 2023. Based on the rules and regulations, on the last, I believe it's the last or the fourth week of June, we should have at least approved budget. That's what the rules and regulations states. So looking at the timeline, we did have a public announcement, and it was published in both the newspapers, the one in Sunnyside, as well as Yakima Herald Republic. We are accepting any comments on the budget. It's also posted on our website based on full 10 times employee. And also, I wanted to add to this, I discussed this before or during the previous board meetings, the staff in this agency had no increase in their salary for the past 3 years. The deal was, after 3 years, they will get 6% increase. And the last time I basically talked about any increase, I said 7.4, 8, there were several numbers floating over. What I did in the project, I based it on 7.4% increase. That's the increase I added into this budget. Of course, everything is subject to your approval, but I really wanted to emphasize something. It's very important. I deal with the staff on a daily basis. I hear a lot of comments, and I am an engineer. I am not, sometimes I don't look at the shortest distance between two points. It's a straight line. Sometimes I look at it around a crooked line. So that's very important to distinguish that. When we say for the past 6 years, we will have basically 12% increase, that's really not true. Every 3 years is 6%. The truth of the matter, for the previous 3 years, we had also increase in health insurance. So employees, on a yearly basis, they were taking really deduction. They were not having any increase. And that's one of the reasons I'm not gonna put anybody on the spot, but the truth of the matter, that's why we are losing. The retention is gonna get probably even worse in this agency if we will not take care of this. And I hope you see that point. And one of the, what I placed in front of you is what I read in the newspaper, came out from the commissioners. They, the county is losing also employees to the west side in unprecedented numbers, so they decided to give them 5% in addition to what they have. So that's another problem or issues I have heard in this office. So I thought to bring all this issue while we are talking about the budget. But the budget, what is included here is 7.4% increase, effective July 1st. If you approve any other numbers, I will take, I'm more than happy to change the budget or at least take it into consideration. And the last time I heard between among you guys, they were saying, no, that 7.4 is not cut it, and it's not cutting that. And I attended the manager's board, the managers for the clean air agencies in Washington State. Every 2 months we have a meeting. The last discussion we talked about is what do they do? How do they make their pay scale and so on and so forth? Each and every one of them, I heard that they do have scale, steps or pay scale, as well as the COLA. And the Department of Ecology asked from the clean air agencies to help or write a letter if eventually the Department of Ecology to increase their salaries to be compatible to the clean air agencies. And I'm gonna use some of Department of Ecology's Kathy Taylor's words. She said, their pay scale is kind of out of whack. My reply was, when it was my turn, I said, if you, at least you are out of whack, we have no whack or whatsoever. That was my comment. Everybody laughed. I said, well, that's really the truth. That's the way how it is. And my recommendation is to go higher than 7.4, but it's definitely up to you guys. That should conclude this bullet in particular.
Before you move on to that bullet, I will say the board has not had a chance to discuss this in public in detail. I think you heard at the last meeting that this was viewed as a start, and there was no objection to your including that number in your proposed budget. And there was interest, which I think is next on your presentation agenda, of assessing what is the right amount of increase, and for that we need a classification, a comparability assessment. And I think that we're not viewing these decisions as a single move to a perfect new number or pay scale. That's why we addressed the reimbursement rate or the employer contribution for healthcare separately earlier as well, so that we can start taking action on these issues and continue moving in that direction, rather than asking the staff to wait until we get our final perfect answer.
I appreciate that. So, looking at the budget, it's included in the board packet. It's from my point of view, it's a positive budget. There is a lot of the revenue. I should refer to the number. The number is page 27. So page 27 out of 49, where in the revenue, it's from the permit fees or the base operation, which includes the minor sources registration, new source reviews, and Title V. Then you go to the permits, the compliance, and the basic grants, which we have from EPA and DOE. And the fines, also penalties, we always put 2,500. We are not interested in really penalizing anybody. Other income, sometimes interest or miscellaneous income, we had 9,673 $1,000 this year out of the ordinary, because that's where we got it from Department of Revenue for the COVID. That's where those came from. The grant operation, we have two. Grant operation is the wood stove education. We get about $5,000. And the BM 2.5, that is $21,050. I'll be talking about this in specific in the next few bullets in my report. This is an issue that, which is part of what Dustin really does for the air monitoring. That's how much we get from them, from the Department of Ecology. And the rest, we pay for the rest of it. We have also the enterprise operation. We have it, that's as an income. The expenses is, we do the salaries. I have, during the public comment is, what do you do with my tax monies? The tax money or whatever we get from revenues and so on and so forth, it goes through the expenses. The expenses goes through the salaries, benefits, overtime. For the base operation, every operation I mentioned for the revenue, it has also expenses. So that's the way how we do the budget. If you look at the budget for fiscal year 2023, for instance, the salaries is $412,802. In reality, that's not the only salary we have. We have other salaries wherein Dustin puts part of his time. For instance, during the air monitoring, that we get part of that $20,000, $21,050 there. If I'm putting other employees also wherever they are doing whatever they are doing that day, that's where their salary comes in. If they are doing the enterprise operation, that's where their salary comes from. So we don't just mix those income. And then, of course, we have the services and we have supplies. And I believe this office is why we are talking right now. We are spending some money for the electricity and our time, our salary. So that's where our expenses for each and every program. And the wood stove change out is the same thing. We receive the grant or in the long run, my if it's up to me to talk to the new dude or dudette, I will make sure to basically say if those money, especially the pass-through money, are really pass-through money. If you look at the budget, is $1.7 million. Wow, it's really very, very healthy. But in reality, this 0.7, most of it is for this budget is passed through. It's really not a real budget. I would separate that if it's up to me in the future, but I try to use as much as possible to keep it with the previous budget's formats in order to be able to compare what we have for fiscal 22 and 23 and so on and so forth. And eventually, the last page, which is page 30, is we have carry over. I'm hoping to carry over 337,170 from the projected final. I don't like that, but it is projected to be final because we will never know the final until June 30th. Those the time you will be able to say, yeah, that is the day what really fiscal budget 22 have brought in and expenses and revenue. So this is kind of projected for the next few months or when we put the budget. And the revenue is 1.7, the total expenses is 1.3 million, and we should have kind of a fund balance between both of those is 384,000. The operating and the capital reserve is about $47,774, which is not a bad number to operate. And that should conclude really my
Conference will automatically end in 5 minutes.
Thank you. I'm not done with my board yet. That's okay. So, that's what I wanted to say about the draft budget, and subject to any questions, please.
I think there may be a few. I know I have a question. You mentioned that you, for salaries, you assumed full 10 FTEs.
Yes.
Did you assume that as of the first, you know, fully employed as of the first day of the fiscal year, or did
yes.
you have, okay, so if we had some of those positions that took longer than July 1st to fill, there would be savings in the budget?
Okay. Definitely. Okay.
Exactly. Or if we could hire faster, we would not be looking at a deficit.
That's right.
Very
That's
good,
right.
thank you.
That's right. And, you know, some of those money is truly speaking, is saving from we lost those employees, they are no longer with us. That's also a saving. I didn't have any increase on my salary, just to make that public, okay. So, so that is, that's also saving, yes.
Thank you. Were there any other questions for Dr. DeHaan?
I have one. On the previous budgets, there has been a line for carryover of $125,000. So was that omitted in this budget, or is it included in that bottom line?
Thank you, really, but thank you very much for asking that question. And as I told you, I'm an engineer. I don't like to put hard punch numbers, especially when I'm using Excel spreadsheets. So those numbers were hand punched before. So the idea before was to carry that much every year to have a capital reserve eventually. So that is true. What was punched before, which is the 119,000 in this budget, fiscal 2022,
119,374. And
where is that in the budget? That is page 30 of 49.
At the top line of
those. At okay. prior year carryover fund.
Okay.
That is what was used before, and if I wanted to use the projected to be final in 2022, I should also hand punch instead of the 152,174, I should punch 119. But I don't like that. As an engineer, whatever it says, the fund balance at the end of the year, that's what you should carry to the next year.
Okay.
Well, that's why you have the 152. It automatically is being carried as a final. That's but you are absolutely right. It's between 125 and 119. That was the numbers most of the time was used. And it is really, it's very, very true. The any agency must have a reserve and must have something in their reserve for any emergencies or anything really happen. And if you talk to economists, some of them, they say between 25 to 35%. If you talk to an engineer, he would like to have 50% plus. So because we use the safety factor, depends on what are you designing. That's the way how.
My recollection was that was the number that had been plugged in as a safety factor for
yeah.
cash flow purposes
yes.
rather than a targeted
right.
reserve
yes.
for.
Yeah. yeah.
We should, if we're, I think that this is a, I like this way of presenting the information, showing what the actual budget carryover is likely to be. We should probably make a notation somewhere of what a minimum safe cash carryover would be so we don't rattle that money around in
yeah.
our pockets and spend it all and then find
mm-hmm.
we put ourselves in a cash
yeah.
shortfall position
yeah.
at some point.
Great.
Any other questions for Dr. DeHaan? I had one other, which is if you normally we have a public hearing as part of the June board meeting prior to discussion and adoption of the budget. Has that
yes.
been noticed along with the notice the budget itself?
Conference will automatically end in 30 seconds.
We will definitely in June's board meeting, as you will the chair opens a public hearing, and if there is any, with whatever, if we have any comments, like today I heard two comments. I really don't promise that I will get you this nice-looking budgets, 30, 40 pages, and for each program, and so on and so forth. I don't promise that, but I'll try my best, depending on how much really I'm going to have. But the truth of the matter, it is right now open for public comments, and we will take all of those, and during the public hearing, and if we have anything, and then we will close it, and then you guys can basically approve it or disapprove it or whatever you decide.
I appreciate that you're providing as much information as you can, knowing that you're doing multiple jobs at once, and so you respond to direct questions from the public and the board at the next meeting.
Yes.
I think that will be sufficient under the circumstances.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
If there were no other questions about the budget at this time, I guess we're going to let you continue with the next item in your report.
Okay. So for the fourth bullet, which is staff classification and pay scale, that was brought into your attention in the previous board meeting. And I believe Commissioner McKinney suggested that if we can seek some help from the Yakima County public, Yakima County.
Their Human Resources Department.
The Human Resources in particular, yes. The Human Resources from the county, if they can help us. I did call the Human Resources, which is Jackie, and they are really very, very nice people. They are very helpful. I never met the lady, but she was very helpful. But she told me, you are too late, almost a year and a half to the party. Said, okay. So what does that mean? She told me that they started their own internal reclassification about a year and a half ago. So they are almost done with the reclassification. What they are doing now, they contracted with a consulting firm to do the pay scale. And here is their number, their names, and she sent email and said, they introduced us to them. And I spoke with her on last week. They're really a very nice firm, and I sent it to you through emails, what she sent to me, and I put it also in front of you. That's what they are suggesting what they can do. So what she is really basing, what she mentioned, there's two ways how she can do that. It's through a survey, and the second one going through a local clean air agencies, not really nationwide, because we have one in Oregon and seven in Washington. And then normalize that into the geographical area. So whichever you guys decide, we can do. And I asked her roughly what would that cost, and she told me about between 5 to 6, and indeed she has about between 5 and 6. So I spoke with most of the clean air agencies during that meeting also, and at least I found it was $23,000 to do that reclassification. So I think this price is really a good price. My recommendation is really to approve me to sign that contract so they can start. And the earliest they can start in July 1st, that's what she said, because they have a lot of work. So that's really my recommendation, and in addition to that, page 31 of 49, 32, I added up to page 39 of 49. So from those are all the pay classification from every local clean air agency in Washington State. That's what they do, and that's what they are using right now. I really did very quick comparison between what we have and what they have. I found out completely we don't have a WAC. It's not just out of the WAC, so that's true statement. So that's where we are. And it's up to you. But that's my recommendation, is really to approve this firm to come in, and they will come, the agency, they will do kind of interviews, and they will see if we have any description for job descriptions, and they will do either a survey or the local, and then normalize that. I like the idea of normalizing it to the geographical area also, so it's not something like, yeah, we are, I understand a lot of people, they say we are not comparable to Puget Sound Clean Air Agency, not in a program-wise. Program-wise, I disagree. We are comparable to any of the local clean air agencies, whether permitting, engineering, whatever it is. I can't stand against, not against, parallel with every one of them. However, I do understand that living in Seattle area or Northwest or wherever it is, it's more expensive than what we have. But I do believe eventually both people in the East or the West, they have to eat. They have to drive cars. They have to have a roof on their in their head. That might vary 100%, but to normalize that to the geographical area, I think it's a good idea. That's what I feel very comfortable with this firm. I think they wanted to do the right thing. That's what I believe. I hope you will approve me to sign that contract with them.
So I think, personally, I think it's very helpful to get a comparison of comparable salaries and have it adjusted for cost of living locally. And this is a lot more affordable than some of the more expensive comparability studies I've seen. I think that the suggestion that we go straight to a new step scale before we have a discussion of whether we like annual steps or we like a range so that high-performing employees can move up faster, people who need improvement can get encouragement to do so before they just automatically get an annual step increase. I think that's a policy discussion that the whole board should have at some point. So I don't think we should pre-bake that decision into the contract with this consultant, but I think having them see how comparable our salaries are or should be to other regions is worth doing, and this is a good way to do it without asking our short-staffed employees to try to gather that information for us. We certainly have the funds available given the savings we've had from having vacancies.
Mm-hmm. So. I would like to comment, Jose and I were on the committee to review salaries, and what we got bogged down in is not necessarily the numbers, but the positions. It's nearly impossible for Jose and I to determine what these air quality specialist number three is. So the fact that this firm will go through and actually review our employees and determine what their job description is and apply them to what they see in other agencies, I think that's critical in making these determinations for salary.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I never really got the chance to say thank you for, I understand you and Mr. Trevino tried to do, and I brought it in the last board meeting. Up to a certain point, there was a dead end to it. That is very true. Either you have to use, if there is anybody in this agency, I will use myself, so I won't hurt anybody's feeling. I have been in this agency for 24 plus years. That is about 24. There were once upon a time something they called it longevity. So when I became in the 15th or 20th year, I don't remember, all of a sudden that scale is gone. So I never really got any increase in longevity. For whatever reason, that's not the issue here. It was gone. Prior to that was a kind of an automatic step. It's 80 steps. 2% each. Why am I bringing this issue in particular? I really do appreciate your comment, Dr. Jones, to the point that next week, if we are going to be sitting with, my understanding, I have about 6 applicants for hiring. Truly speaking, there is no way on earth I'm going to hire somebody and $25 an hour starting working in this agency when my engineer is making 22. You are going to create a big, huge issue. Even if he's more qualified than the engineer who has been working here for 10 years, it doesn't matter. In my opinion, it doesn't matter. It has to be, if eventually with this firm or the consulting firm, that some people will go a little bit down and somebody will go a little bit higher, but at least we have a scale to follow in the long run. That's what I mean.
My experience, no board ever approves a pay cut for someone if they have already been granted that.
Right.
If you see that there's a correction in the range, it's likely to be only upside, because that would be a good way to tell someone that they, you don't appreciate their work and they need to go away. Is there,
need a motion.
Yeah, I think that Dr. Hott has the authority to do this, but I appreciate that he brought it to us because it's ties into policy action. So I would appreciate a motion to endorse his recommendation or make a modification.
Okay. I would move that we endorse his recommendation and to sign the contract with, is it the consulting proposal?
Yes. Thank you.
I will second that.
Then we've been seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Dr. Hott, you have your board endorsement to move forward with that contract.
Thank you. For the fifth bullet is the wood stove change out. We spent about $50,000 for a total of 12 wood stoves. 7 of them is for low income and 5 rebates. For the engineering and compliance, we continue doing the registration program. We registered 57 sources, and we processed about 11 in ODR. We continue issuing agricultural permits, do the daily allocation or metering, if you want to do that, call it that way. We investigated about 9 complaints, and we issued 3 notices of violations based on this table. 2 of them for fugitive dust or dust control, and 1 of them for industrial sources. Those are the 3 NOVs. With the limited resources we have, I think we have done pretty good. And we issued 2 new source reviews, order of approvals for two new gas stations. Just, I'm trying to make some propaganda here. It's for Walmart, so both Walmart and Yakima will have gas stations. So. The prices will go a little bit down. So hopefully, that is for the engineering and compliance.
Thank you. Any further questions on the director's report so far? Not, I think, permitting update is next.
The next one is the air monitoring.
Oh, excuse me.
And
yes.
That is
air
the
monitoring.
One I told you to remember that figure. I did make a mistake. In this, I said $20,500. In reality, it's $21,050. And that's the contract I signed with the Department of Ecology. I put one in front of you. And usually, we sign that for 5 years, every year of $21,050. And that's part of what we do for the air monitorings. We PM2.5, speciation monitors, PM10, and so on and so forth. And that's why I said, please remember that number, because this is where I really need your help. Yesterday, I had a call from the Department of Ecology, and they asked me in specific what is really our plan once Dustin is going to leave. I said, the plan is, according to our plan, I asked Mark Edler, who is also a supervisor, to shadow at least Dustin until the end of this month. Hopefully we can learn whatever we can learn for whoever we are gonna hire to start doing that work. The question become, if that is really not doable, and I have to be practical, and I have to look at the situation as a whole. I told them what happened if, let's say, we couldn't learn the trick within short period of time, and I'm gonna call you and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I did suggest that I can rent them the space, the Department of Ecology, where Dustin stays with us. They said, no, that's not gonna work. So I, at least I tried. They said, no, that's not gonna work. I said, okay. Said, they said, we will take over. They will take over. They are willing to take the monitoring. The only monitor we have for our agency is the PM10, because that is kind of ours, and we get a little bit money for the PM10 from the CORE program, from the CORE grant. The CORE grant is divided into two. The CORE, we call it grant 105, and the other one we call it 103. The monitoring is under 103. So the PM10, we get a little bit money from ecology for the PM10. The lady said, we might just take a little bit from the CORE grant for the PM10, and we will do that work for you. However, also, as I said, we submitted, it's kind of a grant we submitted, and we EPA approved us to put a federal equivalent method in Sunnyside to replace it with that one. So it's for $25,000. And I asked, what about that? She said, no, we'll continue. That's already for Sunnyside. It's not going to change. You will still have that. But they will. It will be easier to even do the work on the new ones. So that is what the discussion I had with ecology. From a very practical point of view, I would say we'll let it go for a while. Let ecology does that work for us, unless we could really do it ourselves. But there is no guarantee. I don't guarantee that. So both ways, I'm gonna need ecology. Both ways, I'm gonna need ecology. If Dustin is effective June 1st, he is an ecology employee. When I call him, I have to, can you do me a favor? That he's no longer an employee in this agency. If I have to talk, I have to talk to his supervisor. That's for a fact. I have to respect, I respect that 100%. So knowing Dustin will do whatever is given to him, as also being part of this agency. But still, he has also, he will have, which we call it, excuse me, even the wording we use it, the west side, or they call it the west link of the monitoring SLAM network. So he will be having Yakima, he'll be having all over the east side. So he will have more on his hand to do, rather than just on the Yakima. He's not moving to ecology just to do Yakima. That's not the case. So if I
could ask you to clarify, yes. So are you recommending that ecology take over this work to back us up in while we are going through the hiring process?
Yes.
Or are you suggesting that as a permanent change?
It's a permanent change until we, because the $21,050, we charge that on a quarterly, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
On every 4 quarters, I believe. This is another thing with Department of Ecology, we have to be very careful. The fiscal year for Grant 103 starts on April 1st. So it's not the fiscal year of July 1st or the federal fiscal year of October 1st. So part of it, we are gonna still send them our cost until the day Dustin leaves, and they will pay us. Beyond that, they're not gonna pay us anything.
Okay.
So hopefully, that I just wanna be practical to the point that I will say, can you please take over? And if we can really take it back, then we can take it back. Because the grant is for 5 years. We have been signing this on a yearly basis. The story is so long, I'll spare you that. So the last one I signed is just for, it will end up 2023. So once the 5 years comes in, as every agency in Washington State signs the contract for 5 years, except us. So I'll work with Ecology if we can, if they can take over, but it is fair. It's very, very fair. They, when they called me, it's fair enough. They have to have ample time and they're knowing what we need to do so they can plan accordingly too. So I told her, after this board meeting, I promise you, I'll give you a call today or tomorrow to let you know what direction or guidance I got from my board.
So, to clarify further, yes, earlier in your presentation, you meant, I think it was in response to the public comment period, you mentioned that, yes, the, in fact, you already have advertised to fill position, one or two positions, was it?
Two positions.
And have you started receiving applications?
Mm-hmm.
But you just do not know exactly how quickly those,
yes,
new employee or employees will be capable of taking on that work.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because we need, the question was even during the public comment period, what, who's gonna take care of Dustin's job? As I said, he has several. One of them is the monitoring, one of them is complaints, one of them is the industrial. So my thinking is hiring two staff and have them a kind of hybrid, some for compliance, and if there's some of those applicants that have the educational background, put them in between engineering and compliance at the same time. So they could also help in the permitting as well as inspection. That's the thinking.
Okay. Any comments or further questions?
I think the explanation gets back to the why we need a definition of employee job description. Because in a small agency like this, there has,
yes,
to be some overlap. It's tough,
yes,
to have it.
Yes. Absolutely, and that's why it's Kelsey was, before Kelsey was mainly on the, more than 80% of her time is monitoring, and the rest was complaints. She was really taking care of the complaints database in particular. Dustin was mainly on the industrial sources. So we do registration, we do inspection, and he does also, we issue a notice of violation, notice of penalty, they will complain sometimes, you know, truly speaking, after this board meeting, you are more than welcome to come to my office and see how does it look like, and you will know what I'm talking about.
Well, it sounds as though having Ecology's support for ensuring the monitors are operating properly and that work is getting done in the absence of being fully staffed is our, not perfect, but our best available option. I'm seeing nodding around the table for the recording.
Yes.
I don't know that we need a motion, but I think that Dr. Tahat, that's, as you've outlined, is a reasonable means of proceeding.
Thank you. So the for the data for PM 2.5, it's pretty good. The PM 10 is the same thing. We had a power outage. The annual is still the same thing. All those graphs are really doing pretty good. And that should really conclude my report.
Okay, thank you. A lot to cover today. Permitting update?
Permitting updates. I have been asked by, I don't remember exactly who, but I put it also in front of you for a source which we call them DTG, is a recycling company, is a limited purpose landfill. That is, they are on the west side of Yakima. So just to make it very brief and very quick, the last letter which was sent and signed by me, asking them exactly to complete, that the letter is probably in front of you, March 31st, to them to submit the following to complete their new source review application. The source, I have to make to confess also that the source is not a new source. They have been there for even before my time. However, this company bought this new facility and they wanted to do some modification. When that happens, then you go through a new source review, and that's what happened. So they did reply to my letter, and they submitted a work plan. And when I looked at it, at the work plan is not exactly what we asked them. I sent them a letter. I said, no, that is not exactly what I ask you for. Therefore, that is not acceptable. Will you please submit another plan? So they did submit another plan, which was a reply to my letter of April 20th. So there is no date on the letter itself because I received those. I think I received it via email. So last Friday, in specific, this plan was done and submitted by their consultant, consulting firm, engineering consulting firm. So I wasn't aware that they asked if I do have some time to talk to them last Friday. I said, yeah, sure, why not? I didn't pay attention who was invited. So it turned out to be us, Department of Ecology and Department of Health. So I didn't mind that. I'm gonna say the same thing, whoever is gonna be on the meeting. So I told them that plan is not really accepted, the previous one, and the one even you submitted is not also accepted, based on the following scientific facts. The fact of the matter is that you are telling me you have those issues, you have those air emissions. What you are trying to tell me here on this plan, you want to monitor the following five gas emissions, which is, I'm not so much interested with that. We have to do it based on an approved EPA method. And eventually I convinced, of course, their consultant, and their consultant said, sure, that is what we should do. And we will have a hybrid between what an approved method by EPA and what they have submitted here, part of it. And they said they will submit that, and they were happy, and the Department of Ecology was happy, everybody was happy with that proposal. So that is, to my knowledge, Department of Ecology, as far as they are concerned, they recommend their recommendation to the Department of Health. They look over their work, apparently. I do understand what's going on, but sometimes I miss the word. I don't like to use it in public, but Department of Ecology has a contract with the Department of Health for landfills. So the one who really issued the permit is the Department of Health way back then. So for whatever reason, I don't know. They do the recommendation and the Department of Health eventually issues the permit. So Department of Health also, they have recently sent them a letter giving them specific days and specific deadlines to be submitted. And even in one of their recommendations to, when they close the cell they are working on, we call it cell, wherever they are working in, we call it cell. Once it's gonna be closed, they will open the new cell, but they have to submit, at least they must have an approved permit from us by June 2023. That was what was written in their permit. So I think that's what the issue is. There is always meeting between Ecology and Department of Health. I attended only one of them. And after that, I didn't attend any one of them because it's kind of a messy thing. I don't like attending meetings without specific agenda.
But if I could summarize what I think I heard you say, all three of the regulators, yourself, Ecology, and Health, met with the company and their contractor, their consultant, yes, on Friday. there's agreement on a solution that would meet the requirements and be acceptable to the permittee, and they're gonna submit that proposal for review shortly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And because they have a deadline by June 1st on my, gotcha. On my letter, they said, can you extend that? I said, I have no problem with extending that deadline, but because they couldn't meet, they wouldn't be able to meet that. I said, I understand that, but if until you submit the plan and I approve it, then that's the time I'll extend that.
Okay. Any questions?
Okay. Those methods are really very, very scientific, very expensive. And not every consulting firm can do that. It could, sometimes they have to bring them from out of state, so that's understandable.
There's no further questions on the permitting update. We'll move on to action items, approving fiscal vouchers, payroll authorization transfers for April.
For April, we have accounts payable vouchers totaling $65,659.56. Out of that amount, wood stove changeout expenses were $50,628.03. And our April payroll totaled $42,437.62. And I need board approval on those.
If there's no questions, I'd entertain a motion to approve the fiscal vouchers and payroll authorization transfers for April.
I move we approve fiscal vouchers and payroll authorization for April.
I second that.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion is approved. Thank you. Other business, I have an update from Yakima County Human Resources on the Air Pollution Control Officer and Executive Director search. We did extend the amount of time. Of course, the position is open until filled, and so it's still being advertised. But we extended the time to review candidates for a further few weeks. As of earlier this week, there were 18 total applications received. Only 9 of them, however, were complete. Some people online send a letter of interest, but they do not answer all the survey questions in order to be properly rated. So there are 9 complete applications. They were scored on a 10-point scale using the survey screening questions that were part of the announcement. Responses scored between or a full range from 0 points to 10 points. There were 3 candidates that were at the high end of the scale, between 6 and 10 points. I would recommend that we move forward with interviewing those top 3 scoring candidates. There was a large gap between those top 3 and others. And then if we are not happy with those top 3, we can interview the rest of the applicants who had complete applications or decide to seek further applicants. So we're not rejecting any of those that scored lower. We're just starting with the top 3 would be my recommendation, those scoring over 5 points.
I just had someone yesterday ask me if they've hired anybody yet because she knows someone. So I told her to get
by all means, do apply, and we'll continue to take applications. I would recommend that we do move ahead with scheduling interviews for those first 3. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing nods of approval. Jackie Lindsay and Mei-Ling Long at Yakima County Human Resources are both available to help us with that, though Jackie has some travel through Memorial Day. So I'd suggest that we schedule time to do those 3 interviews with the board. And with Yakima County HR sitting in to help us with the process. They'll schedule them for us. They just need to know what day we're available. We can look for an ideal day, or we might schedule it on the same day as our board meeting, of our next board meeting.
Yeah.
Does that work for, I'm seeing nods from you? Okay. I will suggest to them that they try to schedule it for the date of our next board meeting for earlier in the morning, 9 to noon, for example. Okay, great. Then and I will be in touch with members of the board about that scheduling. Thank you. If there's no other business.
May I ask a question though?
Yes.
Just clarification, just to make sure I understood what you said correctly also. The scoring, you said 10, between 10 to what? That was done by the human resources.
Correct.
Am I right?
Correct.
Okay.
The scoring was done by human resources in response to the questions that were part of the application announcement, the job announcement. And that was basically verifying experience and education and such.
So I just want to make sure that I understood, because sometimes we receive public information requests, and sometimes it's very hard to read the recording. So the screening was done by the human resources.
Correct.
That's what I wanted to make sure.
Okay. That's correct. So the first time the board will review and assess the candidates will be at these interviews. All right, if there's no further business, that was a long meeting, but I thank you all for your patience and attention. Staff, thank you very much. Dr. Tott, thank you. We are adjourned. So I